Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the word by acknowledging any sin if necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your word that provides us with the information we need to have in order to understand the situation we face in the devil's world, as well as your provision for it and the purpose. Recognize that ultimately the issue is truth and the fact that truth will ultimately prevail, because truth is your reality, and your reality is the only reality that ultimately stands. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. The passage for today is Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God will not be made a fool. It says mocked in other translations, but basically it means to reject truth, which is a rejection of God. People will reap what they sow. Those who sow to the sin nature will reap destruction, but those who sow to the Spirit will reap eternal life. So here you have the contrasting viewpoints that result in contrasting activities that result in contrasting consequences. You have life and peace on one side and death and destruction on the other. And in our study, we've been noting the consequences of inversion of thought as a product of the negative volition to God's word of truth, and have been noting passages that describe the fall of Israelite client nations who had rejected God's word. So we have several instantiations of the client nation. We have the United Nation, we have the Northern Kingdom, we have the Southern Kingdom, and we have the client nation of Judea. And we're noting the ones related to the Northern and Southern Kingdoms at the moment. We're looking at God's warning of the Northern Kingdom to Israel, of Israel, in Hosea 4, 1 to 6. And we've got down to verse 6, and we're augmenting the discussion of the word rejected here. And so in verse 6 of Hosea 4, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So we have here's the basis of their destruction is knowledge. It's not just knowledge simply, however, it's that they have actually rejected it. So that's what the next phrase is. So because you have rejected knowledge. So they had the truth, but they have gone from what we refer to as exegesis to eisegesis. So they've decided to establish what they believe is true and then attempt to force the facts to fit. That's exactly what's going on in our country today. So the consequences of this rejection of truth is I will reject you from being my priest. So that we're about halfway through this. So we're noting the words translated rejected in the phrase, because you have rejected truth or knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. We understand Israel was God's priest nation. They were the first priest nation. They were called out from Egypt, out from slavery, and the first thing God did was to free them, for the purpose of enabling them to serve him. And so we see there that the purpose for freedom is to serve God. And of course, you serve God in truth. We noted that the disaster they faced was caused by their rejection of God's word of truth and had resulted in their adoption of the propaganda lies and deceit of the so-called truth that really is only the fake news of demon doctrine. So we have remember, Satan is the father of lies. He did this exactly. Remember, human history is for the purpose of replicating angelic history. That's why we're here, and we have the option of being beneficiaries of the process or being destroyed by the process. And the attitude towards truth is what determines the outcome for us. Now, God is always vindicated. The truth always is vindicated. So when individuals choose for truth, they automatically win, even though in the devil's world, for a while at least, while God is allowing the case to be executed or to be prosecuted, I guess is a way to really look at it, then those who are representing truth often come under assault, because that's what Satan does. He assaults truth at all levels, at all cases. He never accepts truth, and he never will ever, ever accept truth. He's locked into negative volition, definition of cosmic two. He will never recover. That's why he's ultimately consigned to the lake of fire forever, just like anybody who follows him. Rejected means they refused, to the point of hating God's word. This is maximum negative volition of, see, the keyword there is hatred. And that's what we see again. We see that in our country. The people who have adopted the lie as the truth and are trying to force the facts to meet their lie are in the process of hating truth. And they won't ever, they're in the same situation. They're locked into cosmic two. There's no fixing it. They will. The only solution is sin and death. This is a maximum negative volition of cosmic two. Therefore, so the question is posed, what kind of wisdom do they have? The answer is demonic wisdom. So they have the illusion of wisdom, which is actually a lie, and it's because it's a demon viewpoint. And of course, the entire demonic viewpoint, the fallen angel's viewpoint, is a lie. Their lie is that God's unjust. And so remember, it always goes back to the justice system, and just as it is in our country. The justice system is completely perverted, upside down. It's not justice, it's injustice. It's not investigation, it's intimidation and attempt to falsely prosecute people. So you have the entire system is completely inverted, and the purpose for the system is designed to destroy, not to help. It's not to create truth, it's designed to establish a predetermined, quote, truth, unquote. In the case of the demons, God was unjust because he consigned them to the lake of fire for their rebellion against God. And that's exactly what's going on here. We have a rebellion underway in our country. And it's not yet turned into a fighting war yet. It may well. We'll see. At least not to the extent that it could. But it's likely to. We'll see. But it depends on what happens first. Who knows? We don't know where that's going. The vacuum, or the mateotes, that's the Greek word, opens up in this cosmic, the cosmic lies that they consider to be truth, but they are actually lies saturating their thinking. So remember, the truth is rejected. Once truth is rejected, what's left is a vacuum. In other words, you have to believe something. And if you reject the truth, then you're only left with the alternative to truth. And again, as I noted last time or the time before, narrow is the way that leads to life and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Because there's only one way. There's only one truth. And every other alternative is a lie of some variant. It may not, they're not the same, all of them. That's why you have many religions in the world. You have, you know, bunches and bunches of religions. And religions, remember, by definition, are man seeking the approval of God on the basis of man's works, his good production. And, of course, that rejects the truth because man cannot do anything good for God. So, by definition, all religion is a lie. You know, people don't recognize that. They think religion is good. Well, it's not good at all. It's a lie. It deceives people from the truth. The truth is that no one can come to God by human works. You only come to God on the basis of grace and faith in Jesus Christ. So, but that, of course, if you reject the truth, then you're left with what? The lie, which is some system of religion, whether it be related to legitimate, well, some sort of idolatry is what it amounts to. You know, in our modern world, the concept of God is more sophisticated than it was in the Old Testament times. Today, people look at science and things like that as God, when it's actually not, because it's a creation. It's part of the creation. That's what Romans 8 says. I should say Romans 1. Romans 1, 20, 21. Last time we jumped over to Jeremiah to look at parallel past situation in Judah that is similar to the political situation in the United States of America today. So remember, we've noted the inversion of thought that occurred in the Northern Kingdom. And at the same time that the Northern Kingdom was taken out, remember, the Southern Kingdom was preserved because they changed their mind. So under Hezekiah and Elijah, no, it was Isaiah, yeah, right. Hezekiah and Isaiah, cousins. Hezekiah was the king, and Isaiah was his cousin, the prophet. And they worked together, and the nation was somewhat restored, and it was preserved for 100 and some years. So, but they went down again. Again, remember, Satan never stops. That's the thing we always have to remember. Satan wears down the saints. So he's constantly on assault, on attack. He never is not on attack. And when you think he's not on attack, he's behind you. He's about ready to catch you off guard because you're not looking. So he's always on the assault. He's always foisting lies. He's always discussing propaganda, innuendo. I mean, that's his whole MO. That's all he does. He never does anything good. He hates, he hates, he hates, and he hates. And this passage really addresses this pretty well. We left on Jeremiah 8:10, where it says, I will give, therefore, as a result of your negative volition, I will give your wives to others, their fields to new owners. So this is the takeover that was going to occur when Judah, again, this is 140 years after the fall of the Northern Kingdom. This is when Chaldea came. This is Nebuchadnezzar and the folks that carried the nation off into Babylon for 70 years. I will give their fields to new owners. And of course, remember, in the Old Testament, what people did, rather than the land, allowing the land to go completely uninhabited, they would bring in the people from other places to inhabit the land. So, and there's a couple reasons for that. We've talked about this in the past. One is to just not allow the land to be go back to the wild. That's one thing. So that prevents the land being taken over by wild animals and things that they'd have to then recover from. So that's one reason. The other reason is to actually resettle the people out of their own area so that they have to establish a new culture. So again, every nation has its own identity related to its borders, its language, and its culture. And when you destroy a country and carry it off into slavery and then remove its people into another space, and you destroy that entire system. So that's what they did. So they carried Israel, or actually the Southern Kingdom, what was left of Israel, into Babylon, where they were resettled. And then they carried other people, who became the Samaritans, into the area of Judah. So their fields went to the new owners. The new owners became the Samaritans. Because from the least to even the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. So there's the reason. People remember their idol is prosperity. Remember, they're focused on the stuff. And they're rejecting the giver. So they're focusing on the gift and they're rejecting the giver. And the source of the gift, of course, is the giver. That's who we have to orient to, because he continuously supplies our need according to his perfect integrity. So these folks had forgot about that. It's just like our country has to a large extent, and at least many have. And as a result, they're focused totally on stuff, and without regard to why is it that you have the stuff. You know, what separates you from the other nations? What makes this country more prosperous than others? It has nothing to do with where we are. It has simply to do with the historical relationship we've had with God, which, again, we were founded on the basis of God's Word, and that's all through our Constitution, but of course that's passé now too. So the entire, and everybody, from the prophet to even the priest, they practice deceit. That's the real issue right here, deceit. And the reason for this is because they function under the deceit of demonic viewpoint. So as the people adopt negative volition to truth, they end up in a function under a lie. And that lie causes a propagation of deceit throughout the entire system. So it's all propaganda, it's all deceit, it's all lies. And that becomes the thought style of the people. And of course, in this, it starts with the leadership. And that's what's happened in our country. It starts with the leadership, the media, the academia, and those involved with, you know, the Democrats. The MAD, M-A-D, media, academia, and Democrats, basically, is what it amounts to. And they think they should have power, but they only think so because they think they have the right standard point of view, even though it's wrong. And they're not going to change their mind. So there's no end to this. So the only end is, again, the sin of the death, somehow. In this verse, we see unintended consequences of the national rejection of divine establishment. They lost their women to the invaders, the economy collapsed, and they were defeated militarily because they rejected God's mandate for military preparation that's required for the protection and maintenance of human freedom that is required to serve God. So remember, the sole reason for human freedom is for us to be free to serve God. And in Nehemiah, we have words about this. This is, of course, Nehemiah and Ezra and the folks were the people who were resettled back to the land from Chaldea 70 years later. And the Persians took them out, and then Darius the Mede that let them go back ultimately. The people that took out the Persians let them go back. So that, of course, the 70 years had passed. It was God's will for them to be restored to the land, so that they could set up for the return of for Jesus' first advent, which hadn't yet happened. So this is what happens during their resettlement, when they're back at the land and they're trying to restore. And of course, the people who are already there that have been resettled into the land don't want them there, and so they're under assault. And so they had to wage war with these folks to continue in their function there. Nehemiah 4, let's look in the NET version, describes this, the reason they had to do. Let's back 4:14. Let's back up. So I stationed, verse 13, so I stationed the people at lower places behind the wall in the exposed places, and I stationed the people by families and their swords and spears and bows. So here we have the concept of establishment and the fact that you're protecting your family. Remember, freedom, marriage, nationalism, or family nationalism. And so they were there to protect their children and their wives with weapons. Verse 14, and when I had made an inspection, I stood and said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. That's the people who are attempting to run them out of the land. Remember the great and awesome Lord and fight on behalf of your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your families. So that's what the whole point was. So that is the reason why we fight. We fight to preserve freedom for our families so that they aren't enslaved and carried off or killed. So remember that we have temporal freedom for the purpose of serving God. And of course, that's what they were to do. They were there to rebuild the city walls, to rebuild the temple, and to rebuild their lives back in the land, because that's where Jesus is going to show up here in another few hundred years. So Exodus 7:6, if you go through Exodus, you remember this is stated five or six times, maybe seven, in the regarding Moses and being freed from Egypt, Exodus 7:16. You shall say to him, that is to the Pharaoh, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But behold, you have not listened until now. So, this is, remember, Pharaoh had negative volition. He said no to Moses' demand, God's demand through Moses, that the people be freed. Because you understand, the purpose for this negative volition was ultimately for God to destroy Egypt. You know, if he hadn't done that, they would have been dogged by Egypt permanently. So the only way that you can have freedom is through military victory. And these people they were slaves. They were enslaved. They were not in a position to be able to do anything to free themselves. So God was going to do it for them. And he set the whole thing up so that he was going to do that. But he was also giving Egypt a chance to change their mind. You know, they could have had, if they had gone positive to the word of God, it's possible that God would have let them live. Probably would have, like he did with Assyria, remember? And then when he sent Jonah down there and he presented God's word to them and they repented, anybody always has a chance. So the Egyptians could have changed their thinking that they didn't. And of course, the rest is history. They were taken out and became a non-factor from that point forward, well, until later, who knows. I think they may have showed up later with another civilization. But at this point, they were basically set aside because it was God's plan to put Israel in the ascendant path. And it took a long time because, remember, Israel had to run around the desert for 40 years, and God knew that was going to happen. So the purpose, again, for freedom is for the purpose of serving God. That's my point. So the blame for natural disasters laid directly on the pastors, the academy, and the media. So the communicators of truth, those who are responsible to communicate truth, are the ones who are perverted first. And that's what we see in our country today. The pastors are multi-denominational or interdenominational. They don't hold the truth for the most part. They compromise. It's all about peace rather than truth. So they think they can make a deal. Well, you can't make a deal with the devil. You're going to die if you do that. And because the devil's only agenda is to kill you. That's all he wants to do. So there is no compromise. That's what people don't understand. So the pastors, the academy, the media, the political elite are the responsible, because they felt in their responsibility to communicate truth. See, they knew better, and they said, no, we want our agenda. We want our power. We don't care about truth. Well, the problem is you can't do that, because you will be destroyed. And that's what happened, of course. They manufactured lies from deceit and the propaganda of demonic doctrine. Of course, demonic doctrine is based on emotion and feel good and, you know, trying to be a do-gooder, in essence, is what it amounts to. Not about truth, about doing human good. So they advocated a demonic policy of human morality from the energy of the old sin nature and the emotion. So it's all about how you feel. I mean, Paul talks about it, their God is their emotion. And that's the same idea. It's not the responsibility of the ministry to clean up the tenements and equalize the races or to improve the environment. See, that's not the job. The only way real reformation in social and economic conditions can be accomplished is through God's word of truth being resident in the souls of individuals. See, the remedy to the problems that the countries face is related to the word of God. When God is prioritized and his word is prioritized, then grace follows. And the only way that there's real advance is when there's grace. Because if you can, it's not about where you are on the earth. It's not about who you are. It's about the culture. It's about Jesus Christ. This nation, and put it now even, to happen. So the answer to prosperity and equality and all those things that people want is doctrine. Nothing else is an answer. And you can't shortcut the process. Doctrine has to precede everything, because spiritual capacity and spiritual growth precedes prosperity. And if you take the spiritual growth out, the prosperity will ultimately be destroyed, as is happening in our country today as we speak. The responsibility of the pastors to study and teach God's Word, because it's the only solution, is a divine solution revealed in God's Word. Human solutions based on human or demonic viewpoint are no solution. See, the problem is there's really only two viewpoints. There's God's viewpoint and there's demonic viewpoint. And you can say Satan's viewpoint, well, he's a demon. So you got divine viewpoint and demonic viewpoint. Those are the only alternatives. Everything else is everything that people think is one or the other, or some kind of a mixture. And if it's mixed, if truth is mixed with a lie, it's a lie. You know, a lot of times Satan will deceive us by making the truth or the lie look like the truth, as uncertain from certain points of view. But that's just for the purpose of deception. Verse 11, Jeremiah 8. They healed the brokenness of my daughter, of the daughter of my people, superficially. So they. See, they attempt to assuage the problem, but it's a superficial assuagement from a human viewpoint, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And the reason there is no peace is because there's no spiritual virtue. See, Jesus himself said, there will be wars and rumors of wars until I come. And so for people to promote the concept of peace in the devil's world before Jesus returns, that's a lie. Can't happen. You may have periods of relative tranquility where there's not as much war as we have had over the last 50, 60, 70 years, but that's only because people who had establishment viewpoint at a minimum, and hopefully doctrinal viewpoint to some extent, won. And the fact that they won has suppressed the evil for a while. Not for long, but for a while. So that's why you constantly have wars coming along, because, and even in the midst of a relative tranquil period, skirmishes, you might want to call it that way, which is like what we have over in the Middle East and places. In Africa, we've got wars going on there. And of course, what is happening in those places, you have the advance of the satanic doctrine related specifically these days to Islam. That's the primary basis of the wars that have been going on since World War II, and communism. Those are the two major thrusts that Satan has been able to deploy in the midst of this relative tranquility that exists because of the of the defeat of the Axis powers during World War II. So you have what's, and so in these various spheres out on the hinterlands, away from the center. You know, if you notice, the wars are not in the center of Europe generally, or the United States. They're off in the woods, you know, the Middle East, the periphery. And it's the exact same thing that happens in the tribulation, not in, in the millennium. Remember, in the millennium, the naysayers, the resistance movement, the rebels move to the hinterlands, and they're not formed into a battle group until Satan's let out of Hades, and when he's let out of Hades, then he's able to form the resistance movement, their resistance against Jesus, into a battle which is described as Gog and Magog, which is ultimately put down just before the great white throne. Verses 12 to 14, it says, were they ashamed because of the abomination that they had done? Of course, they were not ashamed. Did they not know how to blush? So what this means is they had no standard of reference from doctrine in their thinking. They didn't know what was right and what was wrong. They were so perverted. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time of their punishment, they will be brought down, says the Lord. So when God gets around to taking them out, they're taken out. I will surely snatch them away, declares the Lord, verse 13. There will be no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree. The leaf will wither, and I will give them, and what I have given them will pass away. So all the, remember, that's the characteristics of a agricultural nation that has prosperity is to have vineyards and fruit orchards and prosperity from an agricultural perspective. Of course, you have to have prosperity from an agricultural perspective to even have anything. Not even our modern society has to have that. It's just not the major component of the society because it's so efficient. And so, and of course, in older times, it was the majority of it. You know, because as technology has grown and people have been able to become more sophisticated in their production of food, but a less and less percentage of the people are involved with that process. And today it's in this below 10%. But there were times in the past in our country where it was 70-80%. That was what happened during the war between the states. That was the big transition. We went from being an agricultural nation to a industrialized nation. That was why the North won. So verse 14, and why are we sitting still? Assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities and let us perish there, because the Lord our God has doomed us. So these people understood they were going to get taken out. They were going to be defeated. The reality came to them, but they were unwilling to change their thinking. This is exactly the same thing that happens during Jesus' return. And Jesus won't actually allow these people to die. The people's negative volition at the end of the tribulation are going to see Jesus show up. And they're going to ask the rocks to fall on them because they don't want to go positive. And they're going to continuously say be negative. And they're not going to, God's not going to allow it to happen. He's not going to let them die. They're going to have to face Jesus Christ, the one whom they've rejected. So here these folks had recognized they were in trouble and they were going to be destroyed, but they were unwilling to change their thinking. That's cosmic too. He's given us poisonous water. This is pointing to God. They're blaming God for the problem. For we have sinned against, now they understand the reason they've rejected God. So the point is they had broke, there was the priest, the prophet, the pastors, the prophet will be destroyed, and truth and opportunity for spirit production will be taken away. See, there reaches a point when negative volition becomes so pervasive that there's no communication of the truth. So at that point, then people are just left on their own, and whatever you have residual in your head is what you're going to have. So the false pastors, the academy, the politicians, and the ruling class were pacifists, and then their message was identical to the peace at any price propaganda and deception that's expressed by the progressives in the so-called post-Christian Western world today. See, the reason we have much of the lies that are foisted upon our country is because the progressives think that they've found a way to end wars. Of course, that isn't going to happen. And it clearly hasn't happened experientially because there's still wars everywhere. It's just that they haven't been a world war lately. And they think they're going to put it off. The same thing happened after World War I. And it's happened after World War II. that it's never going to work. The so-called brotherly love that is nothing but emotional sentimentality never stopped an invasion. It has never prevented war and never will prevent war. The only way for a nation to obtain peace in the world is to maintain spiritual and military strength and, when necessary, wage war to destroy the enemies of freedom, because they are also the enemies of God. And we see this in Nehemiah 4:9. We pray to our God, and because of Him we set up a guard against them day and night. So they recognized God was their source, but they had a responsibility to defend themselves as well. And we just noted some passages in Nehemiah already. And in Psalms 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. So He doesn't take away the watchman's responsibility. The watchman is to be on guard, but the Lord ultimately guards the city. That's, again, spiritual prosperity precedes temporal prosperity. Spiritual success precedes temporal success. So that's the principle. So we'll pick up here next time. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to provide for us to study Your Word, the blessing it is for us to understand Your provision for us as we face the challenges that the devil is presenting. And we see that pervading our entire society to the point of nearly destroying it. And we certainly ask that You would step in and delay and prevent that from occurring, if that is Your will. But would ask ultimately that Your will be done, not knowing exactly where we are in the whole system, the whole time of events. We do know, though, that the issue is the truth, and we are connected with the truth, so as a result, we'll be delivered. And we ask this, You would bless our activities and strengthen us throughout this day, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.